Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I hope everybody has been taking copious notes on how to create effective goals or effective objectives, whatever you want to call it. In the business world, I think most people want to call these things objectives, but they're in a personal aspect. And as you can tell, this is definitely not something that is a yearly thing that you do for business in creating effective goals or objectives. You're really selling yourself short if you are not looking in the big picture of where you really want to be and what you really want to be doing. And so that's why it's really important if you want to have, you know, a greater success than what you're already able to attain, then you really have to, you just can't sit and take a laissez-faire approach to your life and let the winds of change and the currents in the water literally carry you to where, you know, you end up. You have to take action. You have to take the initiative in taking control of your life. And so the reason I'm actually doing this, and I'll get into it afterwards as well, the whole point of us trying to make an impact and trying to actually get this government back on track, it doesn't happen just by talking about it. We all have to start setting goals of how we are going to get involved. It's not my job to tell you what you have to do. Those are the things that you need to come up with on your own. You have to be able to recognize your bandwidth, your resources, your strengths, your weaknesses, what you can do and what you can't do. And so I hope by giving you this kind of tutelage or this type of insights on how to be successful, then maybe you might actually start applying these things and actually be able to help contribute. Because if you put your mind to it, we'll get into how to do that, then you will be successful. There's no doubt in my mind. As you know, the show is not only sponsored by MobiusStripPress.com, but it is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, 1798Part2.org, as well as RepublicReview.org. As you know, as I always tell you, this is the only show that actually provides a solution to our constitutional crisis that we're living under. There is no other, this may not be the epitome of conservative entertainment, and I may not have the sharpest wit, and I may not be able to come up with the cheesiest cliches on a daily basis, but I do have the solution. And I think that those of you and many of you returning listeners understand that. As you really go through the facts, as you look at what I have presented to you, that the Constitution is a contract, and as Jefferson and Madison attempted to do in 1798, that is very specific to the fact that they were auditing the contract and holding the federal government, the subcontractor in this relationship, accountable for violating their compact. And so I'm hoping that going into 2019, this message goes further and further. I don't necessarily want to be a lifetime entertainer, but there's an important message here. If you don't recognize we're living under federal tyranny and arbitrary rule, then I'm hoping that you begin to start waking up. I mean, you may be seeing some of this, but it is out of control. And the day of reckoning is coming. Either we take action or they will, because I'm telling you, they have nothing to lose in taking action because they have the guns and the force, and we need to take that away from them. As I have been telling you, that there's ways you can help, and hopefully in you setting tactical goals, you might be able to start contributing and helping us You know, it may be, and as a matter of fact, one of the things you can do, because we do have an election coming up, I'm hoping that maybe one of the things you do is actually set up a small little savings account. And maybe you've never gotten involved in political campaigns before, but one of the things I am asking you to do, and I've been asking since this last election, to start contributing to these dark red candidates that need help. So maybe you put $2 aside, $3 aside on a monthly basis, and or a weekly basis. Whatever a gallon of gas is, just put that money aside so that when the election comes up in 2020, you can be all in electing the constitutional supporting candidates that we identify in these dark red states to get them across the finish line so that we can actually have one. If we get one state to stand up, my friends, if you help us get one state to actually stand up and call for the audit, and the only way we can do that is ensuring that we support the candidates that signed the pledge to do the work. And so what we need to do is literally get behind, and the way to do this is start saving now. So I'm kind of getting ahead of this because I'm giving you some ideas of things that I believe in setting some goals and actually creating a habit and a condition so that you will succeed and help us succeed. That is the crux of why setting goals is really important. But let me get to that when we get to the goals. As you know, I've got the crowdfunding set up. So if you want to contribute to that, that is a great way to help because you're really paying for literally just the travel and those expenses that we need to pay for so that we can get the message out, so that we can educate both party leaders as well as political leaders. And so we're working with a lot of different organizations, and we're hoping that we're working with you as well. Another way you can support and another way you can directly work with us is by sending me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and getting involved directly by doing research and so forth. Do you live in Arkansas? How about Oklahoma, Tennessee? Give me an email and say, hey, I live in this state, and let me help because I need some help in those states, and because they've just popped up as darker red states than others. And we believe that we can make a difference in these darker red states. And so we need your help. So if you've got time, you've got resources, then great. Give me an email. If you've got money, you can, you know, send us $5 a week or whatever. Send that to our crowdfunding campaign on GoFundMe, and that would be Reclaiming the Republic campaign, and then we can actually start benefiting, and that's one way we receive blessings. When we serve, and I truly believe when we're serving others in the form of protecting their liberty and protecting their freedom, we are blessed. So let me continue to move forward. As you know, I appreciate your tuning in, but as you know, I do go through the news, and there are things that are in the news that are kind of interesting. And I know yesterday I made a little light of the police that, I forget, it was Kentucky or Tennessee. I think it was Kentucky that a Krispy Kreme donut truck had crashed or what have you. And I don't know the backstory, and I'm not a police hater by all means. My father was in law enforcement. I've got a lot of friends and family that have been associated and are directly tied to law enforcement. So I have a profound respect for what they do and how they contribute to society. But, you know, there is that little stereotype of coffee donuts and all of that. And anyway, I tend to have I believe levity is important, being able to laugh. And if you can't laugh at yourself and laugh at the stereotypes or whatever those things are in life, then it's, you know, the world becomes a little bit darker. And I honestly believe that the people that have a good grip of levity and can, you know, laugh and enjoy life, Those are the people that aren't suffering from depression. And I know there's a high percentage of the world that's suffering from depression. So lighten up and try to find some humor in things. And more importantly, this is probably the most profound thing that a person could probably tell somebody. We all need to learn to be happy with what we have to be happy with. And in doing that, you know, we don't have to look at others and be going, I sure wish I had that. But anyway, there is no sign, if you did not know, there is no sign whatsoever that the federal government is going to relinquish its unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers. And so that means I need your help. We all need to start pitching in, and we all need to get involved. Forwarding emails is nice, but having real tangible points to your email and having real personal communications, because I know most people that get lots of different emails from people and groups and organizations, they just ignore them because people don't have time to go through, and I'll just call it garbage, because they need to respond to the personal issues and the business issues that are really in their life and affecting their life. And so, help us by actually doing tangible things. And, you know, it may not be in somebody's face that you're out there providing insights via emails and so forth. But you are actually helping, and you will be acknowledged and recognized, because over time, the work that you do will actually bubble up and you will actually be a contributor to the solution. I'm at a hard break. When we come back, we're going to dive into the last half of setting effective goals and how we can do that in 2019. I'll be right back.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
And so one of the most important things in setting goals is understanding really what you want to do. And so that's why you start off. And so I'm going to kind of recap for you. You have to determine what your ultimate goal or goals are. There, you can have many. It's hard to have an ultimate goal
are multiple ultimate goals in a profession, but you can have a professional ultimate goal. You can have an educational ultimate goal. You can have a family ultimate goal. And I'm hoping that people don't consider, you know, just a particular thing. Like a good example would be maybe like educational religion. Some people may say, well, I want to become a doctor, and you go and get that. And then you don't have anything else that you know, you don't know where to go from there. And so I've met, I've worked, I've actually had a doctor work for me. And here's a guy that had far more education than I did, but, you know, he was, you know, unable to, you know, obtain any. Not that he couldn't do work. It was he just couldn't get himself to, you know, succeed in the workplace. He succeeded well in education. So that's why it's important to have a multifaceted type of ultimate goals of understanding what you need out of every little facet in your life. And family's a part of that. And religion may be a part of that as well. Because I know some people that say, you know, I want to get my life together and, you know, I want to be saved. But that doesn't mean, because people that get saved doesn't necessarily end there, right? I mean, you have to live a life and improve your life constantly and constantly work on, you know, your spirituality in a religious sense. If not, then you tend, and I've seen many people that become religious and then they become, let's just say, unreligious. They just lose that because they forgot, you know, to actually go somewhere beyond just actually getting their life together, and then they get lost again in their life. You have to have, only you can determine what's really in your heart and where you want to go, and only you can create the limits to yourself, to your success or whatever. Look at what you really desire. Look at where you really want to be, and and then set those goals. Get those goals, all these ultimate goals of I want. And as you start looking at the ultimate goals in each of these facets, it'll start coming. I think the picture will come to you to understand that, well, you know, if I'm going to do this in education, then I want to be able, if I want to do this in career, then I need to be here in education. I need to be here in my experience, you know, blah, 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 in these different facets of your life. Ultimately, these goals will hopefully help direct you to where you want to be. And so as you create these ultimate goals, then you need to come up with what we call midterm goals or strategy goals. And strategy goals are long-term goals. It's not something that you're going to obtain, you know, quickly. It's definitely not a one-year thing. Going and getting a degree is not a one-year thing. Maybe a certificate might be, and that might be a tactical goal. That's something that you can bone up on and, you know, and test and pass a certificate in your profession or what have you. Those would be considered a tactical goal. But in understanding each of these ultimate goals that you have are like, you know, conquering, you know, different peaks from K2 to Mount Everest and Mount McKinley or what have you. And you have to understand that each of these peaks, because these are in different facets of your life, you have to set up strategies to get into a base camp and to the, you know, the next level, the next level, the next level, and where and what you need to do to get there. And so that's, we kind of covered all of this yesterday. So the next thing that you have to start doing is identifying what it's going to take with regarding your training, your competency development, and those types of things, because we get into, you know, your core competencies are very critical in developing those so that you can move forward. It's the same thing with your education. It's the same thing with certificates. And it's also the same thing with attributes. And I pointed out attributes yesterday. Attributes has nothing to do with education. Attributes really has nothing to do with necessarily your core competencies in those. It has more to do with productivity, versatility. And so productivity is how productive are you? Do you do too much gabbing and jabbering at the water cooler? Or are you really focused and tenacious in getting the job done? Are you versatile? And versatility doesn't mean you can do a range of things. It means that you're willing to do something that's outside of your comfort zone. How are you in your communications? All of these things are attributes in the workplace, attributes in the home that as you improve, like in parenting, if you improve your communications, and part of that is listening to your children, your wife, your spouse, what have you, how are you in your cooperation and teamwork and team building? How are you in looking at processes and identifying how those processes can be improved? All of these things are attributes that are a part of the workplace, a part of life. Then I also kind of identified that there are trickle-down objectives that, you know, in, especially in the workplace, if you work for a large company usually has a strategic plan and they have a yearly plan to help them meet their strategic plan in growing in their dominance in the market space or whatever your business does. And understanding the operating group, the business units, and coming all the way down to your program or your, you know, the particular job that you are on, whether that be, you know, software development, building a house, or what have you. Those are the things that you need to also align to in identifying what their goals are. You need to try to improve yourself in a professional space at work, and the same thing in all the other things that you're doing, but I'm just trying to focus at the work on the work in the workspace for you right now. That as you see that they're going down this different path of using different tools, whether it be going, you know, from using a hammer to a gun, and I know that's, you know, still old technology, but whatever the different paths, tools, and things that they're trying to use in improving productivity in the workplace and improving, you know, their competition in the workplace or what have you. And some of this stuff could be like software tools. Some of this stuff could be using newer databases, newer applications, and so forth. Anyway, how are you in aligning what you need to do in the year and getting your skill sets developed? Are you aligning to meeting the needs of your employer? These are important because the employer is constantly looking at the employees and who has the greatest value. You don't want to be that entitlement guy that says, hey, I'm entitled to my pay. I'm entitled to my job. I actually had one employee that worked for me that was literally, we all get old and we all get to that point, and hopefully you don't. But I had an employee that was literally just a couple of years from retirement. And all he was trying to do was he's just trying to keep his job so that he could, you know, get that retirement, or, you know, he could get to where he needed to be financially for retirement. And I sat down in a development conversation with him. I said, you know, we're moving down this path of Linux and so forth. And he was disciplined in different OSs than Linux. And I said, I need you to get smart on this because this is where the program is. And this is what all the programs are moving to that we're working with. And, you know, I appreciate the fact that he was honest with me, and he said, you know, look, I'm really tired of having to, you know, learn things. I just kind of want to do my 2 years and retire. And then I had to, you know, kind of put my arm on his shoulder and I said, hey, look, you know, I understand that, you know, you have this need, but the company who, because of the relationship, it's an at-will relationship. The company has needs for, you know, employees to do certain things. And I know this may be difficult in trying to learn something completely different or new, but it's not that much different. And in other words, I had to motivate the individual to understand that even though it may seem like a brand new language, an OS or what have you that he needed to bone up on, it's really, you know, it's not like they use that much differences. I mean, there's a stark contrast from Unix to Windows. There's a stark contrast from, using hammers and manual tools to air guns and those types of tools. And so, and one is much superior than the other. In the long run, as things change, I mean, the working environment is not necessarily fluid, but it does change. And you have to acknowledge that you have to stay abreast with those changes. And so thus came this, you know, epiphany of mine, because I definitely realized that when people literally are working, because people, what, and this is the problem that employers have with their employees, that somebody comes along and they get a job, and employers want to have, you know, a great relationship with all, I mean, because as an employer, I understand that getting somebody in that door is very, very difficult. And you don't want to lose that person because, you know, you've invested a lot of money in getting that person through the door and getting to them to this productive level. I'm out of time, but I'm going to tell you why it's important to keep employees and why employees need to be changing their paradigm. And I'll be right back after this, a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And so what do you do when you hire somebody? And if you look at the lifespan of a career, because to be honest, if you look at the average person that, you know, goes out and gets a job, the majority of their life is spent in their profession. They spend far more time doing their work than they do in developing their marriage and in developing their relationship with kids, their children. You spend a lot of time, you know, from your 20s into your 60s. That's 40 or plus 40 years, maybe even more. Some people go into their 70s. And so that's a lot of time. That is 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. Add it up, my friends, because the time you sleep at home doesn't count for family life. You're only putting in a couple of good hours of quality time with your spouse, with your kids, or what have you. And so I think that the employers need to start looking at the reality and having an honest conversation, because there's a lot of truth to the fact that when you hire, you know, let's say you're a big company and you hire these kids coming out of school, or, you know, you hire somebody and you bring them on board and say, you know what, we want to have a long-term relationship with you. It is in our best interest to develop a good quality relationship, and we hope you feel the same. However, the reality is you, over the course of the next 10, 20 years, are going to improve and improve in your productivity and what you contribute in the workplace. However, in the last 10, maybe 15 years of your working here, we have to be honest and understand that your ability to work long hours will go down, your ability to, you know, be as productive. And so it is unrealistic for employees to always think that they should be making more money, especially when they realize that all of a sudden they're really not as productive. Because if you work at a plant and let's say you work on a line, you can only do so much and you can only offer so much. And over time, your productivity starts to slacken. There's just no doubt. As you get older, you just don't have the same energy, the vigor, vim, and so forth. And so the employer should be able to quantify precisely what that is, to basically state, you know, we don't want to lose you, but we want you to know that when your productivity starts to go down, we believe it's only fair that we be able to reduce your compensation. Instead of paying you a higher wage every year, we want to be able to reduce your wages and offer you positions and so forth. We want to keep you on, but we need to be able to recognize that, because the worst thing an employer can do is discard people because they're not as productive, right? And that's the honest conversation. And the employee has to be honest enough to be able to accept the fact, especially when they start realizing, yeah, I'm definitely not hitting the keyboard as fast as I am, or I'm definitely not pounding those nails as fast as I am. If you're in manual labor, it definitely takes a toll on you more. But regardless, over time, your productivity starts to go down. There's very few people that can make and continue to grow their value to a company. Some people become very wise with networking and those types of things and sales and so forth that they can probably keep up with and even still outperform the young kids coming in. But that is an aberration. The average circumstance is the opposite of that. And so I honestly think that there needs to be that kind of a dialogue between corporations and employees, labor unions or what have you, because there needs to be an honest addressing. And as long as people are doing what they can and people are being honest on both sides of the aisle, the employer and the employee, then there should be a fair, or I should say, I hate using the word fair, there should be a well understood and a well accepted process in keeping the employee on but reducing their pay. And so this conversation with this gentleman who's just had two more years to go really drove this whole concept home with me in understanding why we need to start addressing and giving people dignity of being able to let them keep their job. But let's be honest, I mean, if you're not able to keep up with the things and the directions we're going, then maybe what we should do is offer you an opportunity to take a different type of job, like working in facilities. At least you still have a job and you're still getting the same benefits. Your pay will go down, but offering them those types of positions. Anyway, I went on this tangent, but I thought it was kind of important to close this concept because this is a conversation and this is a problem within the working environment that we do not and have not been able to overcome as far as businesses go. But let's get into the details of setting goals now. Now that you understand, you know, you've got to start marrying your goals with your business, your employer, what have you, on the professional side, What do you start doing? Well, you have to start looking again. And this is where I left off yesterday. You have to start looking at the shortfalls in your core competencies. You have to look at the shortfalls in your attributes. Are you as productive as you should be? Do you have the core competencies that you need in your nursing, in your engineering, or whatever it is that you're doing? And what you want to do is, let's say you have, you know, let's say you have a range of different core competencies that you're lacking in: networking, storage, and databases. Well, don't develop all, you know, try to do a little bit in all three. What you want to do is you want to focus on one that you want to elevate to come up to the level you need to be, or exceed the expectations for your labor grade or your position, so that you can actually outperform what the expectations are for that position that you're in. And then the next year, you do the another one, the networking and what have you. That's how you start building your core competencies, and that's how you get ready for actually saying, hey, look, you know, my core competencies exceed expectations for this position, so why don't I have an opportunity to get a promotion, a pay raise, or that type of stuff. You also want to look at not only just developing and building your core competencies, but you want to start, these are what I call enhancement objectives. You want to start identifying how you can enhance yourself. These should be skill areas that you're already doing well on that you can be enhancing yourself. These can be professional education, it could be furthering formal education or informal education. And these would obviously be giving you a development of definitely a higher difficulty level in your skills, your ability, understanding, and those types of things. These enhancement objectives will always benefit you and your employer. It's the same thing with your core competencies. And again, these core competencies and enhancements can be dovetailed with the direction and the things that the company wants to do more of. I happen to know a guy that, he's a home builder, and he wants to move his employees, because he's really a general contractor. He wants to move his staff of his employees away from, you know, actually pounding nails, doing the framing, the finishing work, and so forth. What he wants to do is actually start subcontracting more and more of the work out, so that because it actually helps him save money in them not doing all of the building. He started off with them doing all of the building, but as he started developing relationships with subcontractors, that this is all they do, then he realizes that he can save money, because then he's only paying a flat rate for what that work is, instead of paying a range of his different employees of doing the same work. Because bottom line, if you've got a wheelbarrow full of stuff that has to be moved, and the only person that's there to do the work is your most expensive employee, you're paying a lot of money to move that wheelbarrow. And if you leave it to a subcontractor, so he's kind of recognized and started maturing the direction he wants to go. And so now he has to get his employees attuned to this concept that they need to become managers of subcontractors instead of driving nails, cutting boards, and those types of things. And so he recognizes that he's in a position, and or I should say a situation, that has created, I'll just call it a paradigm shift, that he understands that some of his employees don't want to do that. And so this becomes the difficult conversation that he has to have with his employees to get them to understand that if you don't want to do this, and you want to continue actually working with your hands and doing the work, then what I will do is help you get into a job with our subcontractors. But, you know, I don't want to do that anymore. It costs us too much money, and we're just trying to improve so that I can continue to pay you more money. And so some people don't want that. Some people actually like working with their hands and doing that job. So anyway, that's one of the reasons why you need to make sure that you're dovetailing, and or if you're not, at least by being aware of these changes in the workplace, you can be attuned to and be ready. So what ended up happening with me, and I'll just give you this little aside, the story. Actually, I'm going to give it to you when we come back from the break. And that's because I'm at a heartbreak. So I'm clairvoyant. No, I actually happen to look up and I go, oh, I've got 5 seconds. So I don't have time for the story of what ended up happening to me, but it was because of my recognizing where I was and where I was going and what I wanted to do. I definitely wanted to, you know, I'll be right back after this and I'll tell you exactly what and why. So we'll stay tuned and we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
And so what ended up happening with me, because when I retired from the Marine Corps, I went into contracting and I excelled really quick. I took on different responsibilities, pursued different opportunities, education, and developed myself and so forth. And I worked my way all the way up. I was literally 2 steps away from the VP. And as things go, there were changes and shifts and so forth, and realignments, reorgs and so forth, because parts of our business, other programs and so forth, were not doing so good. And the program I was on was an enterprise. It was a long-term program. And I realized it was about 2008 when I realized that, you know, I needed to get to my retirement because we had an early retirement. And so I was going, well, instead of trying to fight and everything else, because I still had an opportunity to be able to go and do something else with my life, I just said, you know what, because the mountains, because of the earthquakes and everything else, it's literally changed the landscape. And for me to continually pursue these goals, because the landscapes have changed, I need to reassess my goals. And I recognized that there was an opportunity for me to basically to kind of ride out the contract that I was on. And so what ended up happening, everything just aligned perfectly because I set up the goals to do that. And I made sure, and I protected, I actually had, and I might as well say this now, I had probably the most diverse staff in all of the company. And it wasn't a diverse staff because it was a mandated diverse staff. It was a diverse staff because I was able to find, and it was just by happen chance that I was able to, you know, obtain a, you know, when I was opening up a position, you know, the person would come along, would be of a diverse ethnicity or what have you, but they were the most qualified person. I just consider myself being blessed with having the employees that, you know, I was able to find. And it wasn't, never once did I actually look at, you know, the makeup of the individual. I looked at their capabilities of the individual. And again, as I was moving towards the end of the contract, I wanted to make sure, and I helped everybody that wanted the help to literally put themselves into position so that not one person that did not want to leave or that was willing to do something to keep their job, they all were able to keep their job. And I just allowed myself because, like I said, a lot of the changes, I was actually on my way to becoming an executive. And those things literally changed because of the landscape change. And so the politics and so forth had literally changed out from underneath my feet. So bottom line, long story short, is that I was actually able to, you know, ride through the end of my contract. And it, you know, it was really kind of hard because I was watching my, you know, my director at this point in time, you know, telling me, hey, we don't want to lose you. We need to keep you here. And I go, hey, the landscapes have completely changed. You guys are not doing the things that I do that I'm best at, you know, and unless you're willing to retire and let me just take your position, you know, you need to let me go. And I kept on telling them. So as the contract ended, they should have just let me go. But instead, they actually kept me on for 3 months beyond. And I was saying, why are you carrying me? Why are you doing this? And they finally said, you know what, you're right. Because they were offering me other positions in leadership to go over and do something where the core competency, I mean, I was just really not qualified. And I said, you know, why are you asking me to do something when there's people clearly within those organizations that deserve that promotion more than me? And so anyway, long story short, they, you know, finally said, okay, obviously you don't want, you don't want to kind of salvage and, you know, take on a lot of work. And I'm going, that's not the point. It's not a matter of whether I'm willing to work that hard to do that. You've already got people. And what you're going to do is create a motivational and or a morale problem because people are seeing that we're just protecting people. And good, that's not a good business decision that you protect people. Yeah, sure, I may be a good guy, but my leaving this, you know, the company, I'm still a good guy. I can go off and do other things. You don't need to mollycoddle me. That just sends a bad message. And it really does, friends. And so after 3 months, they finally, you know, let me go and I've moved off and done a lot of other things. And, but in that whole process, I was preparing myself. I started writing books. I started, you know, actually tapping the expertise that I was developing in politics, the Constitution, and so forth. And so if you're attuned, and the whole reason behind that story is if you're attuned to what is going on in the currents of your workplace, then I would just suggest that you really, you know, prepare yourself for those types of changes in the dynamics. Fortunately, I had the time and I was in a position to be able to position myself over the course of practically 7 years. And it was really galvanized. I mean, it was solidified in 2012 that, you know, I would be, you know, leaving at the end of the contract. And so those first 4 years of that 7 years really helped me in understanding what I needed to be, where I needed to be and what I needed to do. And so you need to do the same thing. So you need to start setting, again, these attribute goals. You need to start setting up your enhancement goals, your core competency goals, as well as making sure you're dovetailing these things with these trickle-down objectives. Anyway, when you start looking at, you know, you're creating these goals, what you need to do is you need to make sure you identify all of the steps necessary to get to that. If it's a certificate, then you need to set aside the time. You need to identify the resources required. If you don't have them, then you need to add parts to your goals of how you can obtain the resources needed to obtain these objectives, right? So for your advancement objectives, you need to, you know, be able to have, you know, specific resources. And if not, then you need to account for those things. That way you have a greater chance of success. Okay. And all of the things that you're setting up in these goals are hopefully pointing towards your ultimate goals. The other thing that you need to look at within your goals, when you make your tactical goals, you need to make sure that they're SMART, okay? That's a Peter Drucker terminology. And if you look up who Peter Drucker is, he is, you know, probably the big cheese of motivation management and time management goals and so forth. SMART is an acronym, and it stands for specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time bound. So in other words, each of your goals, your tactical goals, need to be specific enough to clearly make it so that you can be successful. They basically are holding you into a very tight box that you can actually make. They need to be measurable. In other words, if you've only got so much time in the year, you know, like if you need a four-year degree and you want to make, you know, get this goal done this year, you're not going to make it because you only have 1 year to do it. So they need to be measurable. They need to be able to actually fit within the time frames that you have for them. They need to be achievable. Let's say one of your goals is to stack 50 chairs, but you don't have a ladder, so you can't stack 50 chairs. So you have to make sure that they're basically realistic and achievable for your ability to do these things. Relevant. They need to be relevant. Again, this goes back to this whole planning phase. If they aren't relevant, then there's a good chance that you may not get them done. If you really want to take a detour, like become a nurse from engineering or do something that is completely different than what you're doing, then, you know, the relevance will have to be, and all of these goals will have to be, you know, very well managed, ensuring that you can maintain your employment as you're preparing yourself to make this jump away from what you're doing. The final thing that they have to be, again, in the SMART acronym is time bound. This indicates a time schedule or deadline for achieving the performance objectives that you're setting. In other words, when will they be done? And so if you make these things SMART objectives, you have the highest likelihood of obtaining these things. Now, I have a lot of cheesy cliches and a lot of other things that I want to share with you, but I'm out of time. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to come back tomorrow. And before I get into the news and catch up with all of these grapefruits, and because there's nothing really that's important. Yeah, the shutdown is still going and people aren't dying. And I want to finish this so that you can understand how to be successful. Now that you've set these goals, you put them on paper, that is not the end of it. And so we need to talk about how to execute and what you need to do to ensure your success in setting goals. Because, you know, maybe this is the big part, but it's not. The big part follows this, you know, all this work in setting up these goals. And so with that, I will be back tomorrow to finish this. I am G.R. Mobley. I'm reclaiming the Republic, but I need your help. And I hope that you can set some goals in doing that. And so God bless, and I'll be back tomorrow.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty.